Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children of all ages, you're now tuned in to the Investor Show. As always, this is your gracious host, the Prince of Investing, Prince Dykes, coming to you guys and girls live, all the way from the beautiful city and state of Denver, Colorado. Don't forget to hit that like, subscribe, comment, and share button. And as always, I don't have a lot of time, and I definitely know you guys and girls don't have a lot of time. So today, we're going to jump straight into it. Very interesting day today. What's going on in the market right now? Market news, I would say, pretty sideways days for the last 2 days. Not too much crazy excitement has been going to market so far this week, with Monday and Tuesday being a little slim. Now, this is something that I wanted to kind of bring, and I made this episode to bring to you guys and girls' attention, because this is something that I suffer from and something that I suffer from doing, right? And this is having the ability to try to look for all these companies. You're trying to look for all these companies. You're trying to find the next hot thing. And sometimes things are hidden right in plain sight, if I said that right, right? Right in broad daylight. You have these great opportunities right in front of you that you don't even notice. Why don't you notice it? Because you overlooked it, because you overthought it. That brings me to today's topic. Today's topic, don't be so smart till you're dumb, or that you're dumb, however you want to say it. Prince, what does that mean? Sometimes we overthink things. We're trying to find the next big hit company. We're trying to find what's going to be the next great Amazon, what's going to be the next great Facebook, what's going to be the next best Microsoft, Apple, whatever the case may be, that we overlook the everyday companies that can help us get to our goal. The first thing I want to bring to everybody's acknowledgement, these are three companies as of today, of June, what's today, 22nd, I think it is. Make sure I got today's dates correct. 23rd, I'm sorry about that. 23rd or 24th. As of today, we have four companies. And what I mean by four companies, we have four, well, it's three companies that are over the S&P 500, right? Not over the S&P, but over 20% beating the S&P 500. S&P 500 is about down 2% so far this year. But we got three companies, household name companies, Netflix, Amazon, Microsoft. All those companies I just named are over 20% year-to-date, even though we went through the fastest stock market crash of 2020. How did this happen? What does this mean, Prince? I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, as you're out there looking to invest, as you're looking around the globe to invest, sometimes some of the best investments are right in front of your face that is so easy that you can't even believe it. So many people hit me up and ask me about Hertz. They ask me about, Prince, what about Hertz? It's bankruptcy. What about the airlines? What about XYZ? Not saying that there are not great opportunities there, but sometimes right in front of your face, you have a company like Amazon, you have a company like Netflix, you have a company like Microsoft, Facebook, that are right here in front of your face, that are having amazing years doing great things, household names. But so many people have written me and called me, DM me, and asked me about some off-brand stuff I never heard of. Because, Prince, this is the next Tesla. This is the next Disney. This is the next whatever. But that we overlook and forget about the companies that are actually doing this. Now, I'm going to give you this in today's episode. We're going to talk about index funds versus stocks. And how does it make sense? We're going to look at portfolio versus stocks, large cap versus small cap. And we're also going to talk about beating the S&P 500, because I learned that most people that tune in to the show tune in because they are. When you look at this episode, what do you mean by I'm being so smart till I'm dumb? Sometimes you know too much. You get the technical analysis. You're pulling out the technical analysis. You're doing all this research on who's the next thing, that sometimes we don't invest into the thing. A simple person who goes out and buys an index fund or buys a top tech company like Apple or Microsoft, or whatnot, Amazon, they don't mess with all that other stuff because they don't know enough about it. They are outperforming people who know so much, who got so much data, who know so much knowledge, right? So today's episode, we're going to talk about those things. So the first thing we're going to jump into, index funds versus stocks. When people build their portfolio, the first thing they love to do is to go buy a bunch of stocks. Oh, you know what? Let me go get this stock, that stock. Don't know too much about the company, but they just buy a bunch of stocks. I always tell people the base of your portfolio should be an index. NASDAQ, S&P 500, broad-based index, getting you the top companies. Because the likelihood that you're going to go out here and pick, I don't know, Hertz and Budget and this company and that company and even beat the index is pretty slim, right? 90% of people can't do that. So if you can't beat the index, you join the index. You compile the index. That's why I always tell people start with the index first. The next thing, investors love to catch amnesia. Oh, man, do we love it. I've done it myself. I'm guilty. You know, everybody got that one buddy that calls you on the phone. Man, let me tell you about this company, man. Let me tell you about this stock. You know, man, I brought Southwest Airlines. It was $15, and, man, it took off. Or I brought this underwater well company in China. Man, now it's 10 out of 8, 30% from it. You're like, what? I did that. I did the same thing. You know, I remember like it was yesterday. Guy came to me, Prince, man, you know, I owned this. It was a case that go on the phone that your phone is automatically was supposed to be solar power. It's a solar powered charger, that case, a solar power charging case that goes on phones that was going to come out of China. And this guy was like, man, I brought this stock at 10 cents. Now it's $3. I'm like, what? Oh, my goodness. Right. And that's great. You will have those. It doesn't matter who you are. If I go out and I can't play basketball, if I shoot the ball enough, the ball is going to go into the hoop eventually, right? So, but what I mean by amnesia and what I'm talking about, portfolio versus stocks, investors will always remember the stocks that they got right. They will forget about the stocks they got wrong. So I don't even look at an individual stock. I like to look at the whole portfolio. How has this portfolio performed against the S&P 500? If I'm managing a portfolio, in this portfolio, the entire portfolio, I mean, whatever you got inside of it, yeah, you're going to have a stock that goes off and does well, or a company that does well. But with all my winners and losers compiled together, how does it perform to the S&P 500? The overall portfolio, not individual placement stocks. Everybody loves to say, oh, man, I got this individual stock and it's performing this well. Well, what about the whole portfolio? Then they don't want to mention the whole portfolio. They only want to talk about the winners. Investors do it all the time. You talk to them, hey, Prince, how's investing going? What comes to my head? Oh, it comes all the winners, man. Let me tell you, man, Amazon, man, I was going to blah, blah, man, Facebook, man, Apple, yeah, man, you know. Then we forget about all that trash that we brought. You know, airlines are getting very quiet right now. This is the time people should be buying airlines if they were interested in the airlines. But guess what? Everybody who was investing in the airlines, they're very quiet right now. But guess what? Airlines go off and rally. You know, let's say Southwest Airlines rally up to $50. Then you're going to see all the Southwest geniuses come out, right? But then you're going to see all the people who may have gotten the stock wrong. They're going to get very, very quiet. All the people that brought Hertz, people forget about it. So this is why I tell people, don't look at the stock. Look at the whole portfolio. How is your portfolio performing? I don't care. I don't even look at the individual stock. I look at the individual companies, but I'm looking at the overall portfolio. Because I look at that overall portfolio and say, if that ain't beating the S&P 500, maybe I should invest into the S&P 500. So look to create a portfolio versus just buying individual stocks. Because you talk to somebody, yeah, man, your stock's doing good. They don't tell you about all that other trash they got in there. They're seeing a screenshot of the stock that's doing well. Oh, I brought this so low. But they won't tell you. They get amnesia about all everything else in the portfolio. So build a portfolio versus just worrying about individual stocks that you're going to get right or wrong. Next up, large cap companies versus small cap companies. I kind of touched on this yesterday. This is what I mean by being so smart to your dumb. What happens is so many times everybody's looking at Uber and they're looking at smaller companies, which, you know, it's nothing wrong with that if it's a small portion, that we overlook the index, we overlook an Apple, we overlook a Microsoft, all these big Disney, all these big conglomerate companies that has done historically well that we just forget about, throw away because we're trying to find the next big thing because we think Amazon is too mature. People thought Amazon was too mature last year. People thought Facebook was too mature 2 years ago. People thought Apple was too mature 2014 when they split, and that was 6 years ago. Apple was $700. It split to $100, and now look at it, over $300 going to $400, and it will get back over $700. It was trading over $700 without even having the value that it has today, money-wise. I'm not talking about all the other diplomatic stuff. So the thing about it is, a large cap company versus a small cap company. Historically, over the long run, small cap companies will they'll grow faster than a large cap company. Prime example, me, I'm 35 years old. I have a 9-year-old son, Wesley. He's about this tall, right? I don't know, come up to my head if he was standing up here, right? He comes up to my head standing up. Who do you think is going to grow more in the next 10 years, me or him? It's going to be him because he's small. So small cap companies have a larger way to go. Like Tesla, it has a long way to grow versus a Ford, versus a GM, versus a Chrysler. Why, right? Why is that? Because Tesla is so small right now. So small cap, small capitalization companies usually are going to outperform the larger cap companies. Now, you're looking at small cap companies, you're like, well, I don't know, whatever. You can get a small cap index and forget about it. You can grab a small cap index. A large cap index, that's the S&P 500 index. S&P 500 index, that's the large cap. So sometimes when you're looking to be all fancy with the world of investing and come to find out, you ain't even beating the S&P 500. That leads me to step number four. You get all this fancy this and you got all the apps. You got all of this. You see the people that they get on social media, they screenshot the companies they got correct. They're doing this or whatnot. And when you put their whole portfolio together, they're not even beating the S&P 500. A guy, for prime example, had a buddy call me today, a couple hours ago. He said, hey, Prince, I'm looking at this particular ETF. And this is the, he gave me the ETF symbol. It was AOR. I told him, I said, I'm going to talk about it tonight when I do my show. I looked it up. It was an iShares ETF, right? I may pull it up on the show for the visual people. But we're going to walk through it. You know, I didn't pull it up or whatnot. But it's a AOR. It's Alpha Oscar Romeo. It's an iShares ETF growth allocation. So this company is built around growth. And when you looked at that company, it's an ETF that's built around growth. Like, you know, it's supposed to invest in growth companies like Amazon, Facebook, Berkshire Hathaway, companies like that. That was inside of this particular ETF. He said, well, Prince, I started buying it. I took your advice. I'm buying this for my kids, collecting a dividend. Man, you gave me some good advice. Good, right? I was happy for him. But then again, I told him, I said, hey, have you compared that AOR that you have? I mean, not AOR, but that ETF that you have. Have you compared it to the S&P 500? He was like, no, why? I said, guess what? Because if it's not beating the S&P 500, you might as well just get the S&P 500. And, you know, we sat down. I looked at it. And I said, look, over the last year, it hasn't beat it. Over the last 5 years, it haven't beat it. Over the last 10 years, it hasn't beat it. Over the last 20 years, it has not beaten the S&P 500. So why even bother wasting your time investing in it? You might as well go ahead and get the S&P 500 ETF. You might as well go ahead and get a VU, IVV, SWPPX. You might as well go ahead and get one of those, right? And he said, you know, he looked at it, he put it up on a chart. He saw the expense ratios. The expense ratios for the ETF was 0.25. The expense ratio for like a VU or SWPPX that I just named, 0.04. So he was paying four times as much more for what? Probably it was more than that, actually. But he was paying so much more in expense ratios, and it was underperforming. Why do I need to pay a fund manager that's underperforming the S&P 500? But most investors, when they got their portfolio or they had their stocks, they don't even know, well, what is the S&P 500? The S&P 500, that is a benchmark. That's the S&P 500. The benchmark, it's the top 500 companies in America. If you're not beating that, why even waste it? Right. And I come to learn most investors just don't even know. Oh, I used to do the same thing. Oh, I put money in it and start making money. Great. I didn't know what was the benchmark. Who am I supposed to compare it to? But everybody that's tuning in knows the S&P 500. If I got a portfolio that's not beating the S&P 500, I'm underperforming. So if I'm underperforming, I'm like, okay, so do I need to make my portfolio look more like the S&P 500 or do I need to get inside of it? Now, ladies and gentlemen, don't be fooled. Of course, everybody's portfolio is different. Everybody's portfolio is different. Everybody got a different time horizon, different risk levels, all of the good stuff like that. But we're talking about somebody who's 35 years old, somebody investing for their children long term. You know, hey, I'm investing for 10, 15 years down the line. What good is that, right? So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I want to let everybody know out there, don't act like you're so smart. You get into all these books. You're reading all this technical stuff. You got all these headlines. You know all about this company and that company and whatever. And those companies are not even beating the S&P 500. Well, you're so smart. And I get this from my dad. My dad used to tell me this all the time when I was in the fourth grade. I used to tell my dad, and this is where I get it from. My dad, I used to come home, and I used to catch on real fast to things as a child compared to my brothers. My dad was like, hey, you catch on to things fast. I'm like, yeah, dad, I'm smart. I'm smarter than my brothers. But then I would bring home my report card. My brothers would always have higher grades than me. My brothers would have an honor roll. Someone had a principal's list. And I just sucked at academics. And he looked at my grades. He said, Prince, you're smarter than this. You're better than this. I said, yeah, I am. You know, I'm smart. He said, well, you know what? You're so smart that you're dumb. right? Because you know all this knowledge, but you can't apply it to when it counts. You know all this stuff, but you can't apply it to when it counts. So guess what? You know all this stuff. You know all these back and forth. You're buying warranties and bonds and da-da-da. And then you look at your ETF and you put it on a chart against the S&P 500 for the last 6 months, year, 2 years, or whatnot, and you're underperforming. You're not even beating a person who don't know nothing and just buying an index fund. James Fulton told me this on Wall Street. He said, Prince, sometimes when it comes down to investing, the less you know, the better. Sometimes when it comes down to investing, the less you know, the better. What does that mean? Somebody who just continuously buying an index fund is going to or buy well household name companies that they know and understand, large cap companies for the most part, pretty much most of the S&P 500, they're going to beat the person who out here know all this stuff, got books tied up, know everything about everything. You can't tell them nothing. And that resonated with me 4 years ago. And I still remember those words, right? Because it was true. When you're going to look back over your portfolio, are you going to ask yourself, man, instead of trying to guess and my coworker told me this, my friend told me this, my cousin told me this, am I going to guess or am I going to get on a winning team? So sometimes don't overthink things and try to be so smart that you end up being dumb. Now, let's do a recap. We talked about the concept of being knowing so much that you know nothing. And I gave you the scenario where I got this from. I used to catch on to things so fast, but I couldn't correlate it to getting good grades in school. Why? I don't know. Maybe I was a little bit lazy, didn't drive or whatever. Maybe I wasn't challenged enough. Who knows? But I couldn't correlate it to getting good grades in school. So my dad was like, you know what? You're so smart that you're dumb. On your report card, it says you're stupid. But in real life, you're smart. Why can't you translate this, right? My brothers who wasn't as smart as me, they could translate in good grades. You know, I used to play around a lot, had a hard time focusing, but that was the truth. So I put this into the world of investing. In the world of investing, sometimes we know so much. We're looking for the next hot thing. What's going to be? Is Uber going to be the next Facebook? Is this going to be this? Is this going to be that? That we overlook the things that are actually already doing what we're looking to do. Facebook is still a good company. Amazon is still a good company. Amazon's going with $3,000. Mark my word, it's easy. I don't know when, but where in the next 5 years? Next 5 years, Amazon will be over $3,000, right? Look at it. E-commerce, retail, it is thriving in this market. It is built for a market like this. Amazon literally had all of its competition derailed by the government. So, ladies and gentlemen, think about that. Think about that, right? Don't be so smart that you're dumb. Now, sometimes when you start investing, people just get in there and just start buying a whole bunch of stocks compared to just purchasing an index. The likelihood of you buying a bunch of random stocks and beating the index is pretty slim to none. Because guess what? Instead of buying stocks, build a portfolio to what you need to do. Build a portfolio. Sit down with a professional financial advisor, investment advisor. How do I need to build a portfolio? How many stocks do I need to have? How many bonds? What is my time horizon? What am I investing for? What is my number that I'm trying to get to? So portfolio, build your portfolio instead of just buying random stocks. We talked about large cap companies versus small cap companies. How large cap companies, like Apple, is a pretty mature company. It has, you know, Uber is a small cap company. Apple is a large cap. Uber is a small cap, unprofitable company. Who do you think has the most potential for growth within the next 5 to 10 years, right? For maturity, when you look at a Tesla versus a General Motors or Ford or whatnot, Tesla has a whole lot of growth that it can do, right? In the automobile industry. So that's the difference between large cap, small cap. Small cap, usually over 10 years, you don't know what small cap company you want to get. Get an index fund. Get a small cap index. Call it a day. All right? Everything you do, going back to the S&P 500 index. Is my portfolio being the S&P 500 index? If not, what do I need to do? Maybe I should just strap all of this and just get the S&P 500 index. So many times investors get amnesia and they only remember the winners. They don't remember nothing else. They only remember the winners. Oh, man, let me tell you. So my homie told me to go get American Airlines, right? And I brought a bunch of it and, man, it just exploded. Oh, I got a bunch of Tesla, man. It just did great for me. But then they forget. They won't tell you about the hurts. They forget about, you know, all the other companies. And I'm guilty of it, too. So investors catch amnesia when it comes down to their stocks. So sometimes when you know so much, but you can't build a winning portfolio, get smart, get the index. My name is Prince Dykes. This is the Investor Show. And until the next video, podcast, cartoon, or whatever else crazy you see me do around the globe, peace, be safe. I'm out. Thank you.